Welcome back to the Two Guys Named Chris show. The segment is called Lawyer Up. She goes inside several legal cases. I'm going to throw one at her, new to the docket that we just discovered a few minutes ago. Lisa's always good with that. Hello, Lisa. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I hope you guys are.
Doing very well. Thank you. This latest story now comes from Canada, but a woman says she's been arrested in Canada for accidentally spraying a guy with a water gun. Her name is Wendy Washick. She was playing with some neighborhood kids at a backyard barbecue that she was invited to. I don't believe she lives in the neighborhood. Meanwhile, a guy was mowing his lawn, and now later after the fact, the person hosting the party said nobody likes this guy. But he was mowing his lawn, and the woman was trying to spray the kids with a water gun. It's one of those pump-style water guns that I believe sprays the water pretty good. And she accidentally sprayed the neighbor that was mowing his lawn, and now she's going to court over. Here's her telling her entire story.
Because I love kids and work with kids, I asked him if he had any water guns, and he said, yeah. I was trying to figure out how the water gun was working, and it accidentally hit the neighbor that was like maybe 3 feet away cutting his grass. They had told my husband to bring your wife out of the backyard, that I'm being charged with assault with a weapon. They didn't ask me one single question. They didn't interview one single person. I've cried myself to sleep many nights.
She's very upset over this, obviously. She's emotional. She has been arrested. She says, I'm embarrassed that I've been arrested, and how can they get me on assault? It's a water gun at a backyard barbecue, and it was completely unintentional. Chris Dem is challenging the fact that the neighbor was only 3 feet away, because that is, I mean, if you're mowing your yard 3 feet away,
it's arm's length.
Yeah. But that's what she says. That's what the report says. So what do you think, Lisa? Is this woman going to get, I mean, surely they're going to drop this case. What do you think? What are you thinking?
You know, this is really, like, Biggie and I, interesting, we were just talking about, I try to tell what the law would do and not necessarily express my personal feelings about stuff. I was talking to him about the Tyreek Hill traffic stop from last week. Mm-hmm. I got a lot of emails from people on both sides of the political spectrum thinking that I was espousing an opinion, and then I was not. You know, I was trying to basically say, hey, this is what the law is going to do with this. Mm-hmm. Anyway, here, though, I have to say, I just want to say my personal thing. I think this is terrible. This lady, oh, my gosh.
Of course.
She is like somebody's granny. I watched several videos of her this morning, and she just is like somebody's nana, and she was just playing with some kids, you know. And this guy is a menace to the neighborhood. He calls the police multiple times a week. The police said that he is super well known to them. He complains to the police, calls them out there all the time for just silly little nuisance type stuff. But this is one of those situations where the letter of the law, an assault is an unwanted touching, and a water gun can be, believe it or not, considered a weapon in certain circumstances. And so, you know, I hope they've set up a GoFundMe for her to pay her legal fees. She's been suspended from her job because of this.
Oh,
I mean, it's insane. It is insane. She's put on a leave, you know, but I think without pay.
Oh,
and it's just crazy. But, you know, I think that what they will end up doing, hopefully, is throwing it out. But, you know, that when you have one of these people that complains and calls the police all the time, if the police don't act and they don't charge the person, then they go up and they make all these complaints on the police.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
you know, they get the officers in trouble. So they're afraid of this guy, really. I mean, they can't stand him, but he's huge troublemaker for everybody.
Mm, man, how many people say that behind my back? We can't stand him, but there's nothing we can do about it.
Yeah, he hadn't broken the law.
We don't like him, but there's really no way to do anything yet.
Yeah,
what a jerk. In a movie, he'd get
a neighborhood menace.
Yes.
He'd get some comeuppance.
He'd get his comeuppance at the end of the movie, but of course, this is real life.
Like he'd be on his camper, and the camper would be flipped over.
Exactly, and that'd be the great
end. But the letter of the law, you know, the letter of the law is that she, you know, he, it was an unwanted touching, and it can be with an object, it can be with, you know, it's just very unfortunate.
It really is.
And for the record, she may be everybody's grandma. She's younger than I am.
Lisa.
Yeah.
Oh,
sometimes words can hit as hard as a water gun.
Lisa, move to strike. The comments about the woman's age will be stricken from the record.
Well, hey, you look much better than she does because she looks like a nana.
Well, when's the last time you saw him? Man, it's upsetting. A question from, now you know I'm a Disney fan. I know you're a Diz hard, as am I. We are big fans of Disney. There's a couple that spent, Scott and Diana Anderson, who got into the exclusive Club 33 at Disneyland. This is a California case. Club 33,
apparently. Have you heard of this?
I never knew the name of it. I do hear there's like an access that you pay for where you get all sorts of different things, better access to restaurants and rides and all of that kind of stuff, but you pay a lot for it. It costs you $25,000 to $50,000 up front. And then $10,000 to $30,000 on a fee basis, like a country club membership almost. But you get more access to the Disney parks. So they bought this. The couple are such fans of Disney that they bought this. And they are they went to Disney way back in 2017. They were in the park at 9:50 in the evening. And they were asked to leave the park because Mr. Anderson, Scott, was slurring his speech and having trouble standing, and they're like, oh, you're drunk. And he gave them problems, and they're trying to get him out of the park. So they said, you're banned from Disney's Club 33 forever. And they loved Club 33, and they had just joined. And it apparently took them a while to get it together where they could join. They are suing and have been pursuing this now for over 7 years because he says, I was not drunk. I'd had a couple of drinks but was not impaired. I was having a migraine, and the migraine causes me to slur my speech and causes me to be unsteady on my feet and say things I might not otherwise say. Lisa Lanier, whose side are you on here? Disney versus the couple that wants to be back in Club 33. And by the way, they say they'll fight this all the way to the Supreme Court if they have to. Go ahead.
I think they're nuts. I mean, they were paying $25,000 in order to get access to this club. Mm-hmm. You have to pay from between $25,000 and $50,000 up front, and then your dues are between $10,000 and $30,000 a year, and that's before you pay any money to actually go to the park. And this couple, I think they had been members for just a few years, like maybe 3 years or something, because they had spent an average of $125,000. A year at Disney. Mm-hmm. I mean, these people have more money than they have sense, apparently.
It seems.
Objection.
I mean, wait a minute. Hold it. But don't put the affluent on trial.
I like Disney, but this is crazy. So anyway, so here's the thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there's a contract, and part of the contract is that, you know, there's this, they can't be disruptive. They can't be, you know, or they can be kicked out. Mm. And so it's going to come down to, they also said, you know, he said, I'm not having this migraine. Disney officers, you know, security said he reeked of alcohol and he was slurring his speech and he was staggering. He said he had 2 glasses of wine.
Yes.
When anybody tells, you know, when anybody, the kind of the rule of thumb in the law is if whatever your client says, double it, you know, right? You know,
objection.
Whatever they say to law enforcement, double it. You know that that's what's coming down the pipeline and double it.
Wow.
So, you know, I think the guy's got a real problem here in terms of proving that he's going to have however many officers testifying, you know, he was slurring his speech, he was staggering, and he reeked of alcohol. They can go back and look at probably his bill. You know, Disney is like super, I mean, in addition to his bill, there's probably like 50 security cameras on him wherever he was having dinner, you know.
Yes.
Well, you can see how much he had to drink.
Yep.
And, you know, I think he's going to have a problem there because a contract is a contract and they have the ability, and Disney's super strict.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, you can't wear certain T-shirts. You can't, you know.
Well, we've heard that. We know that.
Profanity and, you know. Yeah. Then they serve alcohol everywhere, but don't get rowdy.
The guy, by the way, here's the deal on him. He owns a golf course in Gilbert, Arizona, and he says that they were on a waiting list and tried to get into this Club 33 for over a decade, then got in and just a few years later got kicked out because of this.
Yeah.
And he says, my wife and I are so dead set on seeing this through to right this wrong, we will fight until we are dead in the ground. To fight it. And he says, I've spent so much on legal fees on this. My retirement's been delayed 5 years and I don't care. I am righting this wrong. He says,
their attorney must be just loving it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. He's like a billable hours dream. You know, this guy.
Yes.
I would say, God, I would
lost
say.
Lost again. Refile.
All right. They keep on doing it. He's like, I'll fight it all the way to the highest court in the land. I admire his chutzpah, though. I'll tell you that. He wants part of this. He wants to be in
club. He wants to be in the club. Once you're in.
That's, yeah. That's the money, but I don't know about the cents part.
Do you know about Club 33, Lisa?
You know, I've heard of it. I've never, you know, I've heard that it's, they call it a secret society. I don't know, you know. It's, yeah, oh, yeah. Like, it's, apparently, it's, if you're a real diehard Disney person,
yeah,
want to spend a lot of money, it's the thing to do.
Is there any way we could ever figure out, or would Disney ever release how many people are in Club 33?
Maybe. I think they keep it pretty tight. I think they don't, I don't think they release a lot of info on it.
It seems like it. One more story here from Chicago. A man who has been convicted of murder. This is a guy from Chicago. He was convicted, Darian Harris, in 2014 in connection with a fatal shooting at a gas station from 3 years early. Now, he was 12 years into a 76-year prison sentence when he was freed in December because the eyewitness that put him at the scene, that witnessed him, had advanced glaucoma and lied about his eyesight issues on the stand. The guy, by the way, who was set free, was only 30 when he was set free, but now he spent 12 years in prison. The crime was committed when he was 18. He's filed a federal civil rights lawsuit now a few months ago because he says you put a blind man, legally blind, on the stand who lied about his eyesight issues. What do you think, Lisa? Is he going to get a big reward out of this?
You know, I think he probably has a pretty decent case for prosecutorial misconduct. And prosecutors also have an immunity like U.S. Marshals. But in many states, like in this situation in Illinois, there is kind of an exception to that he's able to hear file, you know, go after this prosecutor. And there were two things that were, I think, pretty detrimental. Number one was that this guy had been blind for 9 years. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like he was just, you know, recently diagnosed. And some people who are legally blind can still see pretty well, mm-hmm. but they just can't see well enough to like drive and certain things. And so, but this guy apparently was, he had glaucoma. And he had some diabetes-related conditions. So he had two conditions leading to his blindness, and he was blind for a long time. And so it would have been apparent from, you know, kind of a good workup of this guy that he was blind. The other thing was that the gas station attendant where the shooting or murder took place all along said, this young man is not the person that did this.
Dang.
And this is from somebody that was standing in the gas station, you know, nearby when it happened.
Yeah.
And so those two things together, I think, are going to give you prosecutorial misconduct and a win for this guy.
And they still convicted him. Guy got glaucoma, and they still
–
and the other guy was saying it wasn't him. I saw something recently on Law & Order. You tell me it's just, that's an episode from 1993.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
You tell me if this is true. The prosecutor was sitting down with the defendant and the defense attorney. They're like hashing out a plea deal or whatever. And the defense attorney said, you don't even have any witnesses. We're not going to cop a plea. You don't have witnesses. The prosecutor says, you know what they say about witnesses? They're like desserts. They're nice, but they're not necessary. Is that true, Lisa?
You know, I think witnesses, the thing is that witnesses, like in this case we were just talking about, juries really believe in witnesses as being really strong.
Yeah.
And so if you have a witness, even if, you know, like this guy, this blind guy, it's the most unreliable evidence that there is.
Yeah. Because we don't know. I had that wreck in my Acura recently. And even, obviously, I witnessed it. I experienced it. The cop got there, and he's like, well, which lane were you in? And I was like, I don't know. And he goes, well, how fast were you going? I was like, I don't know. We don't pay attention to anything. They said, well, what happened exactly? I said, I don't know. I was listening.
I was there.
I was. Yeah,
and now I'm here.
Yeah. And I was like, well, I was just listening to the radio. That Post Malone song I liked so much was on.
With Morgan Wallen.
Yeah. I had some hail.
I had some hail.
Yes.
Yeah.
You were just car dancing.
Yes. Yes. And I didn't want to admit that, but they were like, well, which lane? Because the cars were all askew. And I was like, I really have no idea.
Do you know who Post Malone is? Was he involved in the wreck? Sort of.
I'm not a good witness.